with advertisement to buy this and get that and buy cards and send them out, and it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. I'm not against it, really. I think it's the happiest season of all. I enjoy it. I think that sometimes we get a little bit too harsh about the matter. But I want us to get off to a right start. Have you turn to Galatians chapter 4 as we get into our Christmas message today. At this point in the Christmas season, the average man has bought zero gifts. We'll wait for that blue light special on December 24th. Well, you know, one fella was kind of in a puzzle. He got his wife a Christmas gift last year, but she wasn't too excited about that emergency road kit with the booster cables, and even if it had tire pressure thing in it, that didn't really do it for her. And so there's some unwritten law that he wasn't aware of what you're supposed to get a woman for Christmas. He was kind of bamboozled, and she wasn't telling him. And so, you know, what are you going to do? I have mentioned to my wife, please just tell me. Don't make me guess. I've been married 60 years, and I'm not getting any better at reading minds. So it can be a stressful time, really, this matter of Christmas. But here we're going to get into Galatians chapter 4 and pick it up where we were last week with verse 4, 3, 4, and 5, actually, in our Galatians gleaning. And how wonderful it is that it works out just right that we come to the Christmas story according to Galatians at this time, at this point. And so, what are we celebrating all about here? We read in chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this wonderful explanation of what the season is all about here. May the Holy Spirit open our hearts and mind and teach us at a deeper level, understanding what we're celebrating. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. So when I say that our title is The Reason for the Season, you say, ho-hum. That's a worn-out expression. I know all about that. Well, as I was looking at this, I thought, yeah, Christmas has a lot of things that we're familiar with. But I believe here in Galatians, it's peeling away some of the layers of the onion and getting down to a deeper understanding of what this was all about. And so, what was the purpose? What's the reason? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ come down from his glory? Why did he step out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe? Do we still have that hymn in our hymn book? I love that old song. Why? What was he? Why was he born? Why did the infant? Why did the infant become an infant? So we have here a short answer in this passage. Why for us? I hope you understand this today, but it's more than what we've thought about. I hope you'll realize. I want to zero in on this matter that God's purpose for mankind was not that he would be defeated, but that he would have dominion. We sang about that a couple times today, this matter of dominion. Let me tell you something. God's plan for mankind is not that he would live in defeat, but that he would have dominion. Psalm 8, verse 6 says, you've made man to have dominion over the works of your hand. You put all things under his feet. So man was made for mastery. He was not made to live in defeat, but to have dominion. Dominion was God's plan for man. And yet, as you look around, it seems very few men are living in that dominion. I was trying to look at the news today, and I got discouraged. All you see is crimes and strife and murder and mayhem and terrorism. all those things, what in the world happened? Well, it's obvious. Something went wrong. And man doesn't seem to be living in dominion as God did it for us. So the primary reason we celebrate this season is dominion. And I'm going to explain that to you in this message. What do you mean, preacher? Are you talking about pie in the sky by and by? You know, something's going to happen out? No. God's word tells us here that the Christmas is not simply about the birth of Christ, but why at another level. Verse 3 speaks about those who are under bondage. Under bondage. We spoke about that today as we sang our songs. What happened? What happened? Adam and Eve were there in the garden. Things were going fine. The devil came and, you know, he enticed them to sin. Genesis chapter 3. Why? Why did he want Adam to sin? He wanted to wrest from Adam. He wanted to gain from Adam the dominion that God had given to Adam. And what the devil couldn't achieve in heaven, he wanted to achieve on earth. He wanted to have dominion and worship. So what happened is Adam sinned and he turned around and gave that dominion that God had given to him to the devil. He delivered dominion to the devil, lock, stock, and barrel. You might say, well, it wasn't Adam's to do. Well, it was. Because God gave it to him with no strings attached. He said, Adam, you have dominion. I'm retaining no controlling interest. You have the say. You are in dominion. I've given it to you. Then Adam turned around and took this dominion and gave it to the devil. There's a Bible, a verse, really an axiom in Romans chapter 6, verse 16, and we should listen to this. To whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slave. What's controlling your life? To whomever you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one's slave. And Adam yielded himself to Satan, and Adam became a slave to sin. And so 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that now Satan is the god of this world. That's another slide down, I think, there. Satan is the god of this world. God gave dominion to Adam. Adam gave dominion to the devil. The devil is now the god of this world. What's Christmas all about? There's a facet I think that we've not stopped to consider. And I hope that you'll understand it as we go about this. Now Satan has dominion. Now I want you to turn to Luke chapter 4 and read about this incident in the Lord's life. I'll tell you, the background here is where the Lord has been led into the wilderness for the temptation. Jesus had been fasting 40 days, 40 nights, and at the end of that period, the devil comes to tempt him. He took him up onto the mountains, and he brought this temptation. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Verse 5 says, then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now, I'm a fan of yellow, so I highlighted kingdoms. When you think of kingdoms, you think of power and authority or rulers and that kind of a thing. And he says, you see all these authorities, you see all these places of rulers, I will give them to you. And there's verse 6. And the devil said to him, all the authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me. And I give it to whomever I wish. So there's a key verse. You need to kind of keep that in mind or underline that. It was delivered to me. And I will deliver it to you if you just worship me. Now, what I want you to notice, what Jesus did not say. He did not say to the devil, that's not yours to give. You don't have a right to give that. He didn't say that. Because Adam had given the dominion to the devil. Adam had given the dominion to the devil. So Jesus said, I'm not going to bow down and worship you, and he quoted a scripture to him. But the point I'm trying to make is that Jesus didn't argue with him about that offer. Say, you can't do this, because he could. God gave it to Adam. Adam gave it to the devil, the dominion that man was supposed to have. Now the devil has. That's the reason why the devil's called the god of this age. So you recall in Ephesians chapter 6, when we were back there a couple of weeks back, talking about those of us that are in Christ, it says in verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world or of this age. And that's the demon, that's the devil. The ruler of darkness of this world. That's where our warfare is. Okay, I want you to go back and understand, how did we get out of the place of dominion that God created us for? How did we get out of that into a place of slavery? Our first father, Adam, sold himself into slavery to the devil. He mortgaged our inheritance. He gave it over to the devil. And the devil says to Jesus, you see all these things? They belong to me. All these authorities? They belong to me. I will give it to you if you'll just worship me. So number one, what I'm trying to say is that the first man relinquished the dominion. The dominion was relinquished by the first man. Point number two, what's Christmas all about? The dominion was recovered by the second man. It was recovered by the second man. Now, who is the second man? You may say, well, let me see. There was Adam, and then there was Abel, and then there was Seth, and so forth. No, Adam was the first man, but Abel was not the second man. The second, third, and fourth, and on down to where you're sitting today, all those are sons of Adam, sons of slave. So the second man is not Adam. We're all a part of the first man. I'm a part of the first man. In one sense, in the Bible, it says there are only two representative men of all mankind. There's only two men that are the representative. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 47, you should mark this verse. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So I'm trying to say there's just two. There's Adam, and there's the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of the people of all the history, past, present, and future, are born in Adam. And you have what belongs to Adam. Now, if you got here a different way than having a birth from a mother, then you're excused. But we're all born in Adam. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. As we're going to see in a minute, Adam and Adam all die. All in Christ will be made alive. If you're in Adam, you have all that belongs to Adam. If you're in Christ, you have all that belongs to Christ. And so we're talking about the dominion that God created for us to have. Adam delivered it to the devil. Now, how is it going to be recovered? It's recovered by the second man. How did he recover it? And this is important to know. Some might think, well, God is all powerful. He could have declared it and told the devil and taken it back. God's all powerful. He could have done that. Why didn't he do that? Galatians 4 is the key. Let me show you again. Galatians 4, verse 4. God the Father sent forth his Son. God the Father sent God the Son, made of a woman. That's his humanity. Made under the law. That's his legality. He took his humanity in order that he might legally recover the dominion that the devil received from Adam. I want to be very plain about this matter of the Lord Jesus Christ coming as a man. What man lost, man was to recover. Why couldn't God just say, devil, that's not yours. That belongs to my Son. Because God operates in this universe by divine decree. by divine law, which really are a reflection of his nature, his character, his attributes. And when that transaction occurred between Adam and the devil, that was a legitimate transaction. Might have been wrong, but Adam had the ability to do that, and he sold that to the devil. God wouldn't just arbitrarily wrangle that back. He would operate according to his nature. His attributes are always the same. They never change. And it didn't change in this relationship. Let me explain it this way. Suppose you were to buy your son a bicycle for Christmas. Not one of those cheap ones, you know. This one was really a nice bicycle, a quality bicycle. Cost $250, let's say that. And so the boy was so glad to get it, and by New Year's, he's pretty tired of working on it and riding it. So he sells it to his friend, his neighbor boy, for $2.50. Well, I guess he wanted to go to the penny arcade or whatever you would do with $2.50 today, buy a stick of gum, I guess. But he wanted something, and he sold it for that. Now, what's the dad going to do? He's not going to go to that neighbor and just grab that bike and say, this doesn't belong to you, this belongs to me. I bought this for my son. No, because the neighbor boy paid $2.50 for it. He can't just go in and take it back. God wouldn't defy his nature of righteousness in just declaring the devil out of place. When God reclaimed it, he reclaimed it legally and righteously. And now you're beginning to understand something about what it's saying here in Galatians 4:4. Why? Christmas. Yeah, we've heard the story about the virgin birth. We know about the death. We know about our salvation through his death. But is there more to it? We're all sold under sin. We're all in bondage. We're all out of the place that God has created us for. So, how is man who's in bondage going to be set free, put back in the place? This is the reason for the season. Galatians 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, that's his humanity, born unto the law, that's his legality. So those of us who were meant to rule, to have dominion, God sent the second man to undo what the first man did. When you grasp that, then you're going to sing with understanding our closing song here, Second Adam from above. Reinstate us by your love. So how was that second man? He had to qualify as the second man. How was he different from every other man? Well, Jesus Christ broke into humanity. He didn't come from Adam. He came from outside. That's why the virgin birth. He was born of a virgin. Therefore, he's not the son of a slave. He's born as a free man. He had no sinful nature. And he had all the nature of God. Here's another scripture to point that out. 1 Corinthians 15. I hope you understand as you celebrate Christmas and get excited about this, the reason for it. For since by man, this is 1 Corinthians 15:21, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so all in Christ shall be made alive. Another verse in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that's the devil. Why? And free those who all their life were held in slavery in the fear of bondage or death. What's the price of man's redemption? The wage of sin is death. And Jesus Christ paid that price. Now, Jesus Christ, the eternal spirit, God himself, became a man. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh. So the Son of God took on blood and flesh. Why? That the devil he might destroy him who had the power of death, that's the devil, and deliver those who through fear of death all their life was in subject of bondage. Why Christmas? We're in bondage. So he had to become a man. He had to be free. He couldn't be the son of a slave. The son of a slave could not redeem anybody. You couldn't redeem anybody. You can't redeem yourself. You're a son of a slave who's a son of a slave who was a son of a slave who was a son of a slave. Back to Adam. We're all born in slavery. A slave can't free another slave. Therefore, Jesus, the Son of God, born of a virgin, that's the difference. Now, Jesus wasn't the Son of God because he was born of a virgin. He was born of a virgin because he was a son of God. In other words, Jesus didn't become the Son of God when he was born into this world. The Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, in the beginning with God. And verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of only begotten of the Father. So Jesus Christ is as much God as God the Father is God. He didn't become God when he was born of a virgin. It was that he was God that he could be born of a virgin. And so he's the God-man. He's very God of very God and very man of very man. So it's a heresy to say that he's less than man. And it's a heresy to say he's less than God. He is the God-man. Now listen, he didn't come to redeem us as God. He came to redeem us as man. It took a man to redeem man. He didn't redeem us with the power attributes that he has as God. He redeemed us as the perfect, sinless Son of God. It was as man that he redeemed man. He did not use the weapons of God to defeat Satan. He used the very same weapons that are available to us to defeat Satan. Why Christmas? What's it all about? There's a deeper level of understanding I think we're maybe somewhat naive or ignorant about. He came to reclaim dominion. God gave it to Adam. Adam gave it to the devil. Jesus reclaimed it. And Jesus wants you to recover it. He wants to give it. He wants you to know it, what he's done. This is what Christmas is all about. So jumping way ahead, when the religious leaders put Jesus on the cross and he died, hell had a holiday. They said, he's finished. No, he didn't say he's finished. He said, it's finished. He completely paid the debt and redeemed us and took dominion back from the devil. He defeated the devil. So, number one, dominion was relinquished by the first man. Number two, it was recovered by the second man, reclaimed. And that dominion is restored to every saved man. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Or chapter 1, verse 19. Here's a Christmas message or story for you. It's talking about that your eyes would be, and your understanding enlightened, that you might know what God has done for you, the riches of his inheritance in the saints. Now, what is that? And what is the exceeding greatness, verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the workings of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might, and what's the next word? Dominion. Above all dominion, he's taken dominion back from the devil. Above every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, he's put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is who? That's me. If I received Jesus Christ, I am in Christ, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all. He's put all things under Christ. When he was crucified, dead, buried, ascended, he went to the right hand of God the Father. And now Ephesians says, we are seated with him in the heavenlies. You understand, Christmas is more than just the virgin birth. It's more than just the death. It is the resurrection and what was accomplished in recovering the dominion that Satan had gotten. And now Jesus has bought it back. He paid the price and bought it back. And that's the reason for the season. It says in our text of verse 4 and 5, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Why? To redeem those who are under the law in bondage, that we might receive the adoptions of son. Here's the question. Everybody is born in Adam. Would you like to be a son of God? You can be. John 1 says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to go from the red to the blue, for to go from Adam to Christ. As many, even those that do nothing more or less than believe in his name. Will you make that decision based on God's word today, understanding what Jesus accomplished for you, and you can have it no other way apart from Jesus Christ? The plainest expression of Christmas is our favorite verse. You young people can say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever does nothing more or less than believes shall not perish, that's Adam, but have everlasting life. That's Christ. What a wonderful message of Christmas that is. What God has done for us. Hallelujah. So if you are living in slavery to Satan, you're living less than your privilege in Christ. To whomever you obey, that's who you become a slave of. You have a decision, not only the first decision to receive Christ, but you have a decision every day you live to let Christ live through you. And if you mind the things of the flesh, you'll be a servant of the flesh. If you mind the things of the Spirit, you'll enjoy the things of the Spirit. I want us to end in prayer here and give you an invitation. Time is short. I was speaking fast. Oh, I trust the Holy Spirit would bring this message to your heart and mind and give you a deeper level of understanding about this matter of Christmas and what has happened. That he's taken back the dominion that Satan has. Oh, for a while, he's still God of this age. But he doesn't have to be God in your life. That you can receive the Lord Jesus Christ, who's already gained the dominion, and he'll give it to you. So, Father, I pray that you bless the invitation. If there's anybody here that has not received the Lord Jesus Christ, that really do not understand the Christmas message, that today would be the day where they would put their simple childlike faith in your word to know that whoever receives the Son shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And may that occur in their life today as they say yes to Jesus. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.